Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
John Johnson for joining us. He was on fire this morning on Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis. George Sedano did a nice job as well during his show from 10 to noon. And we are here for you. This is more than just a this isn't necessarily a sports story, but it is a Los Angeles story as protests continue throughout Los Angeles. Even as we speak, we're coming off a weekend of protests. Long Beach and Santa Monica and the Grove, and now Sunset Boulevard and Hollywood Boulevard and Van Nuys. People are in the streets right now protesting the tragic killing of George Floyd.
You know, I haven't thought about this until now just because I've been overwhelmed by the story. But do you think this story, what's happening now, bleeds into all these, you know, you and I have talked a lot about how all these sports are coming back. It's going to be the busiest sports time going, and including, we haven't talked about baseball, but they seem to be making offers back and forth. We could have games at Dodger Stadium. Would it be by the end of the month or maybe around 4th of July?
I mean, they probably wouldn't. They'd need 3 weeks of spring training. So you're probably talking about maybe the 4th of July, maybe a week or so after the 4th of July if you get to spring training pretty quick.
So this certainly will have calmed down by then, or am I being naive?
It's going to calm down. It's going to calm down. I think what Keyshawn said makes sense, that once those other three police officers are arrested, it's going to calm down a little bit. And ultimately, I mean, protests like this do wind down. Right now, everybody is on fire. Everybody is in the streets, but ultimately it will calm down.
I'm trying to remember in 92 how long things lasted, but I don't remember. I was living in San Diego at the time, and I think you were still in Ohio, right?
No, I was out here. I was out here. That was the year I got here. One of the very first things that that I was on the air for were the riots after Rodney King. All right, joining us right now is Clinton Yates. Clinton, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm all right, boys. How are we doing?
It's a weird show. But you know, one of the reasons it's weird, Clinton, we're being just totally honest today. So Mason and I, and you know this, have been in the air in L.A. for 20 years, but we're a couple of white guys who haven't had the life experiences that you and Keyshawn and others have had. And we want to have the proper amount of empathy weighed up against what we can do. So guys like Mason and I, Clinton, how can we help? What's the answer to that question?
So step one, and I've known you guys for a little bit since I've been out here in L.A., so please take this, you know, professionally and personally, as respectfully as possible. I think step one is, and I mean this sincerely, stop asking black folks what to do. And I mean that in this context. The most important thing that non-black people who care genuinely about the fate of America can do is talk to people like yourselves who don't otherwise understand. I know you, Ireland. I know you, Mace. I trust and respect your ability to trust and respect me. What I don't know, and who I don't know, is your pastor, is your barber, is your whomever you interact with that is never going to meet me, and I don't have any idea how they interact in the world. Taking these conversations and earnestly taking them to people whom have the privilege of being able to turn off whether or not it matters to them, that's what y'all can do. And I mean that in the most productive way. I hope you understand.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I do.
So speak from your heart here, Clinton, about what's going on right now. What we're seeing in the streets here in Los Angeles and what we're seeing across the country and what we saw last week in Minneapolis.
For those who don't know me, I'm from D.C., the capital of the United States of America. And I also grew up in the 80s and 90s. And when I was 10 years old, D.C. was the murder capital of the United States. My best friend, when we were 20 years old, he got shot by a police officer, did not die, but it ruined his life, if that makes sense. So this is something that, for me, is personal long before I got to Los Angeles. Now, getting here to L.A., knowing full well what the specific civic history is of this city, of this area. You guys spoke on it a little bit earlier in the segment in terms of where everybody was in the riots in the 90s. It's a different matter out here in L.A. These curfews, these restrictions on society that are, you know, partly COVID related, also partly related, obviously, to the situation with the protests, they are cumbersome. And I was listening to Keyshawn earlier talk about how, well, if you had maybe arrested a couple people or threw somebody in jail, that this will calm down within a reasonable amount of time if you do it now. I don't know that that's the case anymore, Mace. I think that this toothpaste might be a little bit out of the tube in terms of expecting people to have appropriate responses to what they feel are inappropriate offenses by law enforcement. And so while I understand the civic need to keep control, I'm using air quotes, I also understand that because we've been cooped up for so long, and I mean that just in terms of Americans in general being forced to be in their houses for public health reasons, and on top of that, looking at screens the entire time, being forced to see things that are inequalities and abuses that we've come to be used to, we've seen a bigger physical boil over in terms of violence than I think we might have otherwise. Now, I'm not necessarily going to ascribe some sort of pie chart to what matters most and why people are doing what they're doing. And I'm certainly not going to say that burning down a van store is necessarily going to mean that somebody's not going to get shot by the police. But what I'm saying is that I can understand how we got from A to B at this point, probably more than I ever have. And that to me is not exactly satisfying. It's just that it is far more explainable, I think, now than it has been ever before. And we see that in the reactions from not just athletes, but sports teams and, you know, brands in general overall.
We're talking to Clinton Yates, who works with us at ESPN. This is Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Clinton, I went back and looked today at the speech that LeBron James and Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony gave after Trayvon Martin in 2016 at the ESPYs. So that is as, for lack of a better word, as polite and as respectful of a plea as professional athletes can make. There's four guys standing on a stage in tuxedos explaining how much their heart went out to Trayvon Martin and how much they were hurt by it and begging for it to stop. And of course, it didn't. Colin Kaepernick gave up his career. He got, you know, he took a knee. Everybody freaked out. Kneecapped his career. I heard Sage Steele talking to Lewis Riddick on SportsCenter today, and she said, I don't know why, but this feels different. This is kind of piggybacking on your last answer. This feels like we have a chance to make substantial change. Do you agree with her? Does this feel like we might actually turn a corner on anything, or are we going to be back here having the same conversation in 6 months to a year?
I agree partially in that there is an opportunity to change, but I also don't think that you're wrong. I think we could be having this conversation in 6 months to a year because this is not a one-stop solution. However, I also believe that things have been done that, to me, are markedly different than we've seen in a long time, and I'm pointing directly at Minnesota, and I'll break it down like this. The University of Minnesota said, we are going to reevaluate our relationship
with the
Minnesota Police Department. That step alone, guys, is unreal. If you think about how we've gone back to what Colin Kaepernick meant and all of the things that were said, well, you don't do it here. How could you disgrace the people that are protecting you at the very venues in which things get out of control? And I bet you won't be saying that when somebody runs up on your lawn with an AK-47 trying to rob your house. Well, if the very people that are educating our children are redefining the terms of what protect and serve means because on the ground they have the proof to point out that maybe protection and service don't exactly go for everybody else, well, then you don't need some huge, big kumbaya moment. Simply noting from one official department to another, we don't need y'all. We might be actually kind of scared of y'all. That, to me, is a massive element of progress that will trickle down to the sports world. Absolutely. And that kind of thing, to me, says, A, something is being done because people are noticing, and B, there's still going to be opportunities to talk about this again because we are going to have to, because, like I said before, this is not a one-stop shop for fixing racial inequality.
Sports is going to come back. What role do you think sports can play moving forward?
A couple years ago when the Undefeated did a town hall on the south side of Chicago, at a kid's center to discuss specifically what was going on in that town. Here's what I said. I said, the reason why sports matter, and to speak to that very point that you brought up, Ireland, that ESPYs, I was at that ESPYs, I covered that ESPYs, I actually knew about that cold open because it was a secret, and I wrote about it at the time, and when it hit harder than even I thought it was going to be, and I knew it was coming, it was that poignant. The reason why sports matter is because moments like that, Timmy in Idaho, when his uncle, who's racist as hell, comes over for dinner the week later and says something crazy off the top, it's not about him necessarily having his entire mind changed. It's about that kid saying in that household, yo, we don't do this anymore. And you know who I learned it from? I learned it from the banana boat guys. I learned it from my favorite player. I learned it from the human who has achieved more than any of you idiots looking at me right now can, and I'm going to listen to them. That's where sports plays a role. It's not necessarily in, oh, we can all come together and look, we didn't fight. It's about when the person at the highest level of achievement says something that nobody else can say to you and uses that reach to affect how their lives interact with the people they know. That, to me, Mace, is where sports matter. It's in that level of influence, not just the sort of on-the-ground interactions. It's a little bigger than that.
We're talking to Clinton Yates from ESPN. Clinton, I don't know if you know Rob Parker. I know Rob a little bit. I really like him. I think he's a really good guy. But I disagree with a column that he wrote today on Deadspin, and I wanted to get your take on it. The question he asked is, where are the voices of all the black quarterbacks? In other words, he wants guys like Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott to take a leadership role and speak up here. I'm not sure if you're not inclined to speak up, like if it's not coming from your heart, if you should be forced to speak on this issue. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the major premise of that column, which I read today on Deadspin, is flawed. I don't think it's stupid. I just think it's unfair. And I'll say that in this way. Too often are subverted societies and underprivileged people forced to rationalize everything that somebody else does before they can be heard. It is not the job of the oppressed to convince the oppressors to stop doing so. And I'm speaking largely here because that's a necessary example. But in this specific case, Colin Kaepernick has spoken for plenty of people. I don't know that I'm going to hear anything more from Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes about what needs to change. If you've got to listen to every single black quarterback in the league speaking in harmony in order to believe what one person says, you have identified the problem, not pointed out its flaws. And that's what I'm saying here, is that people don't understand. Acceptance is the first part of any of this. Believe us. And maybe something will change. And that's why I get back to that point about Minnesota. They believe now, because that school system can look at those officers and say, whoa, we can't have this. And so when you think about what people in other positions should do, whether it's a quarterback in the NFL, whether it's a point guard in the NBA, or whether it's, I don't know, some third line guy in the NHL who's busting his hump to make it, because as a black player, you're dealing with all sorts of glass ceilings anyway to get to that point. I'm not expecting you to do a whole lot more heavy lifting. Your existence as a model human being alone is enough to tell me that you are a person worth listening to. And that, to me, is what this is about. It's not about castigating some other person for not being their vision of Muhammad Ali or whatever else they think makes sense in the context of civil rights. Being the best person you can be and picking your spots is something and a right we should be afforded for our own dignity, not something that we should have to prove to other people we are worth simply because we get a lot of money to throw a football or run down the court.
All right. Hey, Clinton, thank you very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. A lot of great insight, and look forward to talking to you on top of everything else as sports and our beloved baseball gets going again.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it, and thank you very much for listening. And I know that, you know, sometimes these things are difficult, and they're kind of hard to sort of, frankly, look in the mirror from guys in your position, but thanks for giving me the time, and I hope you guys can consider that with you and your family.
You bet, man.
Thank you,
very
Clinton.
Much. There's Clinton Yates. All right, coming back next for you, and we're going to take your calls all the way to 6:30 now. 877-710-ESPN. It has been a powerful weekend. Yesterday we saw protests in Long Beach. We saw protests near the Grove in West Hollywood. Today we're seeing protests on the 405 right now. We're seeing protests on Sunset Boulevard and on Hollywood Boulevard. All peaceful at this moment as people rise up in protest to the tragic murder last week of George Floyd. So we'll get some of your phone calls in here next. We want your reaction. How are you feeling? Have you been part of these protests? What have these last few days meant to you? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. We're getting to some of your phone calls now. It's been an unusual show for us, but this is very much an L.A. story that we're covering right now. As people have taken to the streets again tonight, this time in Hollywood, in West Hollywood, in Van Nuys, all the protests are peaceful at this moment. We're going to be bumping up against a curfew at some point. I think we saw a 6 p.m. curfew was called.
Yeah, we saw at one point somebody, they sent out a text message that said 5 p.m., but we think the official curfew is at 6 p.m., which is in 45 minutes.
And
so we'll
we're
going
to be bumping up against that, and we'll keep an eye on exactly what's going on in terms of the protests across Los Angeles right now.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Here's Polo from Rosemead. Hey, Polo, you're on 710-ESPN.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I apologize if I took some time here, because obviously this is a very difficult subject, but... hearing, you know, everybody, I agree with mostly what everybody said, but I guess, I'm, you know, what I'm thinking about, there's so much focus placed after things like this happen on looters, rioters, and, you know, we forget about what the root of the problem is, you know, we often forget. And everything is focused on just these looters. Now, it's not to condone at all what they have done, what they're doing. It's not at all. But, you know, especially where we're going through a pandemic right now and everybody is on edge, I'm not saying to at all to condone it, but it is understandable that people are going to be crazy here, you know, when something like this happens. And they feel that they have been ignored, you know, for years. And I just wanted to basically quote, it was a Green Beret, the next Green Beret that initially told Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, his name is Nate Boyer is his name, yeah.
Exactly. And there's a great LA Times article on it that talked about it, where the he inspired him to kneel instead of just sitting there, where he told them that that might not look good because it might look like you're not, you know, with your team. It doesn't look very inspiring, you know. And he was the one that suggested perhaps kneeling down. And this is an ex-Green Beret, you know. And the thing is, he didn't agree with everything he did. And I want to point lastly to something that I forgot the host from yesterday, but they discussed it wonderfully. It was I believe a black and white host, and they had a great discussion about it. It was very peaceful, and that's the thing. It's the idea of creating dialogue that is constructive, and you know, and where are those people you know that complained about Colin Kaepernick?
Yep.
You know. Where are they now? You know, people that were making death threats to Colin Kaepernick over kneeling, and he himself received this advice from an ex-Green Beret.
Yeah, you know, Polo, one thing that'll be interesting, I think Kaepernick is probably on the right side of history.
Yep.
And even though right now it's very divided, and a year ago it was even more divided, but I think at the end of the day, Kaepernick is going to turn out to be right, and when you look back, he's going to be on the right side of history.
Thank you. Unfortunate though is that does it take that much time? Do we have to look back to learn this? Can we not see this? Can we not just step back and perhaps see both sides? You know, and not just point to the looters or not to condone at all what they're doing. It's not right. But you know what I mean? We're distracting from what was the root. This man for 9 minutes. 9 minutes. You know, and then to die? And then everybody, you know, tends to forget about it because all you see on the news is looters? That's what's truly something that's wrong in our country.
Thank you for your call, man. I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. I do think that the local TV news spends a disproportionate amount of time following the negative parts of what's happening right now, as opposed to like what I'm seeing right now. They're doing a fantastic job. There is no, it's all peaceful. As protesters march through Los Angeles, Hollywood, West Hollywood, Van Nuys, but the moment something goes wrong, it's going to steal all attention away from what's really the point of this is.
The first trash can that catches on fire, it'll be on three stations. Let's go to Paul from Riverside. Hey, Paul, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey there. How are you doing?
We're
hey,
good, Paul. Man. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Hey, listen, I'm a big fan of Keyshawn and of USD, but I got to tell you, I'm extremely disappointed in his comments. And to be honest with you guys are attributing to all this problem. Keyshawn says that it's okay for that lady to get shot and not to focus on these rioters and all the disturbance that's going on, to focus more on the kneeling. I mean, that's just sheer craziness.
Well, I will say this, Paul. Paul, Keyshawn's very emotional about this subject. I don't think he meant that literally.
He absolutely did. He said it. And for you guys not to stop him and say something, that you guys are on the wrong. I mean, that's absolute craziness of what he said.
I think Keyshawn got a little bit carried away, and he was repeating what she said.
Right.
He was repeating what she said.
Did you see, Paul, she tweeted that, and I think he just repeated it. I mean, Keyshawn used a word in that interview that you're not allowed to say, so that's how I know Key is highly emotional on this subject. But, y'all, Paul, I will say this. You're right. Nobody should be shot over this. Enough people have been hurt. So that woman was wrong to say it, and I think if Key could take back what he said, he would.
He absolutely was. Another thing is, where's Colin Kaepernick and everybody else that's always so boisterous? Where are they in these protests? Why aren't they out there leading?
Well, in fairness, there have been multiple athletes, Colin Kaepernick, look, you're not going to get Colin Kaepernick to necessarily make a comment. He's not said anything. His one expression against social justice has been to kneel during the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick, to the best of my knowledge, has not done an interview since then. But countless
LeBron has spoken out on social media. Why is he out leading the protest and trying to keep calm for everybody? They're just attributing to all this.
They're
truly behind this, and they want peaceful end to this. And it's a true protest. Why aren't they out there leading? Because they know that they can't stop the violence. They know they won't be listening.
Yeah, I don't agree with you. I know where you're coming from during this entire conversation, and I just don't agree with you. I think you're one of those people that is focusing on the few instead of the many. The many are marching peacefully right now. The many marched peacefully yesterday. Local news media focused on what violence there was, but that's not what yesterday was about. That's not what today is about.
Thank you, Paul, for the phone call.
Thank you for the call.
The one thing, you can criticize anybody for anything. We live in a time where I think LeBron's been more politically active than almost any big star athlete. Matter of fact, I would argue that LeBron, if you check his social media accounts, in 2016, LeBron was out on the stage at the ESPYs. He's done more, I think, with his money, and in particular with what he's done with that school in Akron, than almost any professional athlete in any sport. Who was it that earlier in the show was ripping Tom Brady? Was it, it was Michael Ayers, Professor Dyson.
Yeah.
You know, even Tom Brady took to Instagram and took a stand on this.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron tweeted out, or Instagram, he sent out on Instagram, a side-by-side photo of Colin Kaepernick kneeling and Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck, side by side.
That's a long way from Republicans wear shoes, too.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't know that it's fair to expect. And by the way, there are athletes. I think Malcolm Brogdon. I think other athletes have
Jaylen
actually
Brown
led protests.
Drove 15 hours to be in a protest.
Yeah, so athletes yeah. are involved in these protests. I don't know it's fair to expect every athlete to lead a rally somewhere or to lead a protest somewhere.
And I don't necessarily know that it's safe. I mean, what you've seen is that these protests have been kind of like the issue's been sideswiped. So those looters yesterday, most of them had, they didn't care about George Floyd. They just looked at the protest as a way to break into stores.
Yeah,
and steal
stuff. Thought, hey, I've got cover. I can go do this.
Right.
They had nothing to do with George Floyd and nothing to do with the peaceful protest. And hopefully tonight, as the sun goes down and curfew is coming up fast, about a little over a half hour from right now. Hopefully, as the sun goes down, things remain peaceful, and the jackasses who are involved in the other stuff steer clear tonight.
Matter of fact, I would to go back on Paul's point a little bit. I would say that there have been more public figures to take a stand on this particular thing than almost any other thing ever. More than when Trayvon Martin was tragically killed. More than when Eric Garner was killed. You're hearing from people now that, you know, today the NBA Coaches Association came out and said, we're done putting up with this. We're gonna, you know, get a committee and lead change. Now, whether, like you say, you got to follow through. We got to see, you know, what happens. But people are, Greg Popovich did a 1 hour podcast today with Dave Zirin just talking about this, nothing else. People are taking a stand on this more than ever before. Now, whether it leads to concrete social change, you know, it actually moves the needle, remains to be seen. But the fact that people are comfortable taking a side means something.
Yeah, it does. All right. 877-710-ESPN. I guess there are multiple sides to this issue. We just found out with that last guy. I don't know that that's what the show is about today, but I guess it's about hearing from you, regardless of your opinion. It is the protests continue tonight in Los Angeles, in Hollywood, in West Hollywood, in Van Nuys. We'll keep you up to date on that. We are bumping up now against the city curfew. I can see that Mayor Eric Garcetti is actually speaking right now. Perhaps that's what he's talking about. But we're going to continue to take your phone calls. What have these last few days meant to you? What has this last week meant to you since the tragic killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota? Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Peaceful protests across Los Angeles again tonight. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Statement from the Los Angeles Dodgers. As we stood with Jackie Robinson to overcome the barrier of racism in our sport, we now stand with all Americans who will no longer tolerate the evils of racism and social injustice in our society. We must remain dedicated to the pursuit of freedom, equality, and justice for all. And then a quote from Jackie Robinson, there is not an American in this country that is free until every one of us is free.
We're not doing fast track today, by the way. We'll get back to that when it's more appropriate. We're taking your phone calls at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776.
And, multiple players have made statements, today. We should point out Russell Wilson, who I think was mentioned in the article on Deadspin, did release a statement. He says, we cannot continue to ignore racism as though it ended or has never happened. The continual violence inflicted upon blacks and people of color must stop. We need change now. We need love. We need compassion. We need true leadership. We need justice. We need equality.
Let's go to Butt from Long Beach on line three. You're on 710 ESPN. Hi, Butt.
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, what's up, Mason?
What's up, man?
First time, long time.
Thank you.
So the point that I wanted to bring up was pretty much, back in the 70s, there was a Stanford professor that pretty much did a experiment about pretty much the effect of police pretty much and their interactions with, it was a test. So pretty much they were pretty much having people pretend they were prisoners. And throughout the whole experiment, pretty much you can see the level and escalation of how they exercise their power, because it really extends from the person that gives them the power to do so, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's
yeah,
pretty
I
much...
Mean, it does. And you know, I think that that's why we hear a lot that this is about training, that police officers go through training where they learn to de-escalate situations. And Derek Chauvin and those three other police officers did the opposite of de-escalating. That guy kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds until he was dead. That's the opposite of de-escalating. That's actually murder.
You think about it. I mean, Clinton Yates actually, was it Clinton or TJ Yates? But he nailed it on pretty much about the oppression that pretty much is the social class that you're brought up in. You know, a lot of minorities came up within the urban areas that were underprivileged. And, you know, the way you dress, the way you act was pretty much the product of your environment. Now, when a police officer sees that, that is pretty much a stereotypical judgment that they make, you know, in a predisposition to, you know, want to pretty much pursue some kind of a check or pull over a person of color.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the difference with African Americans, with black guys. There's an assumption that they're doing something wrong.
And that assumption is what
leads to situations like we saw with George Floyd.
Right. I'm a Cambodian American. I mean, when we first came here, I mean, we're first generation immigrants from the 80s. And that pretty much was what we had to succumb to when we moved into these neighborhoods. I mean, racism has been alive for as long as I can remember, just because within the neighborhoods, if you were a certain color or a different culture of person, you were pretty much at war with each other because we didn't understand each other. You know, we didn't know what was going on, why these things happened, but we just pretty much killed and keep on killing because
yeah.
That's all we knew.
Thank you very much for the phone call, man. We appreciate it a lot.
Damari in Palmdale is online. Damari, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Oh, yeah. This is Damari. I'm calling, first time calling from Palmdale. I'm currently active duty Navy. My brother was 8 years in the Marines. He got out. But I just want to respond to, you know, a caller a couple calls ago. He said he was an Army vet. Now, I've been in the Navy for 6 years. I know a lot of people that are actually in support of Colin Kaepernick for his kneeling. And on top of that, I've also found out recently that a lot of people in the military didn't know why he was actually kneeling. That picture that LeBron James posted about, you know, Colin Kaepernick kneeling on the left and the guy kneeling on George Floyd's neck on the right.
Yep.
I posted a similar picture on my Facebook and had people comment that said that they were angry with both of them. And I was curious. I was like, why are you angry with Colin Kaepernick when the reason why he was kneeling was for police brutality and racial injustice? And what I come to find out is some people in the military didn't even know that was the reason why he was kneeling. They thought that he was kneeling because he was disrespecting America. And I had to correct them. But, and then some of the people that I know, like, granted, they are white, but I know these people personally, so I know that they don't come from racism. But the narrative that, you know, Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for disrespect to the military or disrespect to the American in general, you know, I'm surprised at how many people didn't know that, because I remember Jay-Z had said when he signed that deal where he's, like, taking over the Super Bowl for, you know, NFL, that everybody know why Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. And when he said that, I thought that everybody knew, but supposedly everybody doesn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that particular issue, which the NFL talked about today, what really happened was that the NFL did not take a proactive position on Colin Kaepernick. And instead, they created their own sort of social justice program, and they did not support Colin Kaepernick, and that's why he's out of the sport. But you're right. Anybody who has a misunderstanding for why Colin Kaepernick was kneeling during the national anthem is really, really missing the point. Thank you very much for the phone call, man. We appreciate it.
Let's try to get Albert from South Central in here. Hey, Albert, on line six, Funch. Albert, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Mace. Hey, John. I just wanted to comment on another caller's comment. He said something about rap music not being a good example for youth. But yes, what they don't understand is that those rappers rap about our reality. That's what they're saying is what we live through every day. And they just take it as they say F the police and F that and F this. It's, for example, when Ice Cube did the F the police, they did it with a reason. It's a type of protest.
Yep.
And another thing, they say that this violence is unnecessary. But when someone protests, for example, Colin Kaepernick, when they protest, they just wash it away. They just look the other way, like it's nothing. So when it gets to these extreme measures, it's their fault. It's their fault because we do everything to prevent this, but they just keep asking for more. And especially in Los Angeles, it's blacks. All around the world, it's blacks and Hispanics and all types of minorities that they're doing this to. And it's just that people eventually are going to get tired of the way you treat them. So this is the way we retaliate, basically, because it's like a war out.
But you're not saying that looting is okay and that,
no,
that
no,
sort
no,
of
no,
violence
no.
is
no,
okay.
No, no, looting, like Keyshawn said, it's a bunch of misled youngsters. I'm 22.
Yep.
So it's just people have different mindsets. It's people that don't have anything better to do, don't have anything to live for. People that even the streets ask for money on the streets. People don't have moms out here and it's like the guy said, we're a product of our surroundings.
Yeah.
We're a product of the environment we live in. So where you live and how you live and the situations you go through, they make you do stupid things and sometimes to survive. So there's guys that see other guys with a nice pair of Jordans, they say, I want those type of Jordans. So they have to do extreme things to get those Jordans. And it's dumb, but people take advantage of situations like this. But those are not the people. Like they say, that's all they're showing on the news. Did you guys see in Miami that they were going to go mess up the police station and that the officers took a knee? Everyone sat around
yes.
praying. If everybody would have done that, everything would have been much better. If everybody
yeah,
would have done
right.
that, it would have felt like we got a point across. Like they
yeah, there were multiple. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah, there were multiple incidents where police officers, when confronted by people who were on their knee, took a knee in solidarity. And that was a good example of how to de-escalate a situation to symbolically take.
By the way,
that
just happened at that protest on Hollywood Boulevard, or on the one that was on Sunset and Crescent Heights. A police, I don't know if he was a sergeant or if he's just the leader of the particular police unit that was assigned to that. It got on a bullhorn and said, "Hey, I want you guys to feel free to protest. I just want you to respect the curfew. You've got like over an hour and you can walk wherever you want. If I take a knee right now, will you just, can I take that as you guys understanding that I need you off the streets by curfew?" And he did it and everybody cheered him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're working together in some instances.
Yep. All right. More of your phone calls coming up next. 877-710-ESPN. Protesting continues across Los Angeles. The largest of those is on Hollywood Boulevard. It is a massive protest. It is completely peaceful. The protest near Sunset and Crescent Heights. Again, no incidents there. Completely peaceful. No unrest in Van Nuys where there is another protest. But remember, there is a curfew coming up in 20 minutes from right now. So the best place to be is going to be home starting at 6 o'clock tonight. More of your calls coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It is an unusual show today. We're participating in and reacting to what has been an emotional few days in Los Angeles. Last week, as everyone knows by now, George Floyd was killed at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Three officers stood by. Derek Chauvin is the officer. He's been charged with third-degree murder. Still no charges on the other three. officers who were certainly complicit in what was going on. That has sparked protests across the nation, including here in Los Angeles, through the course of the weekend. Yesterday, it was Long Beach and near the Grove and in Santa Monica. Today, it is in West Hollywood and on Hollywood Boulevard and in Van Nuys. Everything is peaceful at this moment, but we are about to bump into a 6 o'clock curfew, so we hope that the protesters disperse at some point and things remain as peaceful as they have been all day long.
So, you know, that caller we had earlier that we disagreed with on pretty much everything,
yes,
mentioned that he thought more athletes should be in the on the front lines, in the forefront.
Yes.
And I wanted to play this, Funch, this is your heads up that I'm going to call for this Royce White sound. Royce White was a very good college player, went into the NBA, struggled as an NBA player, but he's from Minnesota. And he led a protest after the killing of George Floyd, and he reached out to a lot of his athlete friends, and he said that they almost all agreed to join him. Here's Royce White about athletes being on the front lines.
I put a message out to some of my athlete friends here from the community, young and old, and said, we have to go to the front lines. If the people of Minnesota are going to be tear gassed, if they're going to be maced, if they're going to be, you know, shot with rubber bullets, if they're going to have flashbangs thrown in their midst indiscriminately, we need to be on those front lines, because the state can't be allowed to think that they can benefit from, you know, building a stadium that could employ, you know, that host the Vikings, which could employ a number of my ex-NFL football friends, and allow this to happen and not think that we're going to stand on that front line and take that same wrath and show the world that we will take the same wrath as the people.
So he had his experience was every athlete he reached out to said, I'm in. And they were marching and peacefully protesting throughout the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it kind of depends on who you talk to. You know, the most interesting guy, Mace, that I think we've heard from over the past 4 or 5 days is Steven Jackson. Did you see his press conference?
Yeah, I did see his press conference.
Okay, so a little bit of full disclosure here. I covered Steven Jackson in high school. He played for he went to high school in Port Arthur, Texas, and played for a very famous high school coach. There were a lot of NBA players and good college players that came out of that high school. He went straight from that high school to the NBA. So I've known him for a long time. He was friends with George Floyd. He actually knew him. And Funch, go ahead and play what Steven Jackson said the other day about George Floyd. And this will give you perspective, particularly if you're not black, about what it's like to watch that as someone who is friends with Floyd and just someone who's seen this happen to people who look like you. Here's Steven Jackson.
You get an opportunity to move away from the environment that brought you down. Mm. You get away, you be successful, you get a job, your life starts turning in the right direction. You stumble a little bit again. It's not worth your life, though.
Right, that's it.
You stumble a little bit again, and you end up on the ground with a knee in your neck, screaming your mama's name, screaming your kid's name, going to the bathroom on yourself. Imagine if he was white. Ponder that for a minute.
No way.
Imagine if he was white.
It's a fair question to ask.
Yes, it is. The same would not have happened. The same would just not have happened. There are different police officers treat black guys differently than they do white guys. A lot of them do. It's real. It's what we've been talking about today. It's what we've been hearing about for a long time. Any friends that we've got that are black have talked about being pulled over driving while black. It's all too common, all too common. And in the case of George Floyd, instead of de-escalating a situation, handcuffed and on the ground, face down, there was no reason for that knee to be there for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. There was no reason for that. It is criminal behavior. And that's why people have taken to the streets around the country and here in Los Angeles. And the vast majority, 99% of the protesting has been peaceful. There are some reckless kids that have been involved in looting. I think that the local news media has focused too much on that. What I'm looking at on television right now, and this is in Riverside now, in Riverside, I actually know that neighborhood, peaceful protest again in Riverside. So all over Southern California, people are taking to the streets once again tonight.
Here's Kurt from Orange County on line two. Hey, Kurt, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing? Kurt, you there?
Hey, Kurt.
Hello.
Hey, Kurt.
You're on the air.
My name isn't Kurt, but I would like to speak.
Okay, what is your name?
Okay, my name's Riley.
Riley. We had a mix-up there. Riley, what's on your mind?
Okay. First of all, I wanted to speak to the gentleman that you guys disagreed with. And I just want to say this. You know, he was finding fault with everything. And why isn't this person doing this? And why isn't this person doing that? I have a feeling if these people had been doing, let's say, the same thing that was done during the Trayvon Martin situation, doing it again, he would have complained about that. So it was a no-win situation for the athletes.
Yeah.
Whatever they would have been doing, he would have found some fault in it. Okay. My next point is, you were asking if you thought this was going to be ending. I believe you asked Keyshawn that.
Right.
And my thought is this. First of all, bad things come in threes. George Floyd's death was the third, right after the video of Ahmaud Arbery.
Yep.
And Breonna Taylor. So, once this situation has been resolved, and I'm hoping that these other officers are brought to justice, okay, folks' attention will be on those other two cases. If justice is not served then, it'll be the same thing that's been happening with this pandemic. When you open up again, you're going to have that third wave. And if justice isn't served, in my opinion, we're going to have a little bit more of the same. My final point to both you, John, and Steve, is you were asking Keyshawn and you were asking Yates, as white guys, what you should do. Okay,
yeah, how can we help.
Okay, how you can help. Here's my 2 cents. Quit asking black athletes what you should do. You guys are bright individuals, and you both know when something's wrong. When it's wrong, speak out on it. When it's wrong, encourage other people to speak out on it. But to keep asking, it's like,
but is that enough? Wait a minute. Is that enough, Riley? I mean, we do that all the time.
It is enough. And especially because you two have a platform, not only as radio personalities, but you're known. You're the voice of the Lakers right now. If you do it, people are going to listen to you. They'll listen to you much more than they would just a regular guy on the street. Just as athletes are using their platforms, you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's good to have the conversation when athletes call into the show, when you guys have athletes on the show. But at some point, it can't be, well, we have to wait for an athlete to tell us what to do. You guys know.
Yeah, Riley, this is a very good call. Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
You know, Mace, the one thing I'll say about that, though, is we don't have their life experience. We just don't.
No, we don't.
And so it's not a ridiculous question to ask. You know, Funch, grab that Jalen Rose bite again that we played at the very beginning of the show, because it's been 3 hours since we played it.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. I mean, to his point, we do know right from wrong. And we do know that what happened in Minneapolis was wrong, was a heinous crime. The question is, how do we take all of this passion that we're seeing in Los Angeles right now, across the streets, all the passion that we've seen in these protests, starting Friday and running all the way through tonight, going on right now, how do we take that passion and harness it to create real systemic change in our country, in our culture, in our law enforcement? How do we do that? And I don't have that answer right now. I don't know how we do it. I guess the one way we do it is we vote. That's the one way we do it, is we vote. We do our research. We figure out what candidates believe as we do about issues, and then vote. And there is a big election coming up November the 3rd.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Rose is asking us to do more than that. Here's Jalen. I'll let him speak. I won't put words in his mouth. But here's Jalen saying that it's gotten to the point where African-Americans can't be the only one to lead. Here's what Jalen Rose said on ESPN.
I wish America loved black people as much as they love black culture. There are so many times that it gets cherry-picked and it gets piggybacked, but only when it's convenient. And sometimes it happens in entertainment and athletics. We're not here designed only to entertain. We're actually living and breathing human beings that have a multitude of intelligence, work ethic, discipline, and talent. We've overcome a lot, just like so many other races. This didn't just start happening. You can Google. We've been sprayed with water hoses. We've been attacked by dogs. We've overcome it. I'm old enough to remember I Have a Dream, Fight the Power, Screw the Police. Now it's I Can't Breathe. This is not new, and it's not going to come from just us. We need people who aren't black. We need people who aren't brown. When you know these things are happening in your society, to have a voice, a legitimate one, lock in step with us, protest with us, post with us, not just when it's convenient, when it can be uncomfortable. The illusion, the image of Colin Kaepernick taking the knee before a football game during the national anthem is the exact one that we see in Minnesota. When a guy was laying on the ground for over 8 minutes, handcuffed with a knee to his neck, and was murdered. Let's start calling these things what they are. These are murderings. These are lynchings. These things have caused pain throughout our society, for our community, for hundreds of years. We've been screaming out for your assistance.
Yeah, get in lockstep with us, is what he's saying there. Get in lockstep. Protest with us.
We'll continue to take your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. We're going to get Alan Sliwa in here coming up.
Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. One of the great protest songs in history, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. We're bringing Alan Sliwa in right now. Looking on screen right now, peaceful protest in Van Nuys. There's a peaceful protest right now on Hollywood Boulevard, on Sunset Boulevard. All is calm. We are right now at a 6 o'clock citywide curfew, and it does look like things are quieting down, at least in Van Nuys at this moment, as protesters may be dispersing. No incidents at all there, though. Sliwa, what's going on, man?
You know, it's an interesting time, to say the least, but I think an important time as well. I mean, obviously, the entire country, by the way, it's not something that's just limited to the States. I mean, you see a lot of these protests going on across the world. So it's a critical time. It's an important time. I think a lot of people are trying to get their message across. And, as you know, hopefully, as long as they're doing it in a peaceful manner, in some, I don't want to say weird way, but it could really be a beautiful united moment, and hopefully that's what it is. But obviously there's also been a lot that has there's definitely been some looting going on that hopefully,
yeah, there's
like
looting
you mentioned,
going
stops
on right now. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately in Hollywood,
yeah, I've been, you know, that's they're looting a CBS, that place is known as, that shopping center they're looting is known as Gower Gulch. For years, KCBS, where I worked, was on the corner of Sunset and Gower, and there's a There's a Starbucks there. There is a pharmacy there. And we would just walk across the street whenever we needed anything. So it's sad for me to see that's going on. And also, Mace, the curfew has just kicked in. It's 6:01. So if these guys, number one, they could get arrested for looting, which is the absolute wrong thing to do. But if the police are going to live up to what Mayor Garcetti said, they're going to start arresting people for being out after curfew.
Yeah, and there's a massive march on Hollywood Boulevard right now.
Yeah, I don't think they'll necessarily arrest the marchers, but these looters are asking for it. I mean,
it's almost clockwork, John. The last couple of days, it's been right around this time where you feel like it started, right? Some of the looting in, whether it was Long Beach, Santa Monica, but I feel like it was 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, like right around this time, some of that stuff started. And you're 100% right too when you're saying that. I think they have not allowed it to happen, but they've only had the ability to control as much as they can, and that's obviously
right. Well, it's a numbers game, Alan. Mm-hmm. The police can only be in so many places at once, and we've been very hard on the police today on this show, and it's because the guys in Minneapolis deserve it. But there's an awful lot of honest police officers that are trying to keep the peace, that are actually protecting and serving. And at this point, if you're a citizen of Los Angeles, you just want to see people, no matter if they are protesting or if they are police officers, not get hurt. The looters are kind of asking for it, but I don't even want to see them get hurt.
No, I don't want to see them get
hurt. Like J.R. Smith beat somebody up. J.R. Smith, the basketball player. Did you guys see that video?
Yeah,
I saw that video.
Somebody tried to smash his car, and J.R. wasn't having it. And it's hard to feel sympathy for people that are out breaking into stores and looting and smashing up cars because, if the police don't get there and the owner of the car gets there first, Then that's when somebody can really get hurt.
And by the way, to the point of there are police officers doing an amazing job, they just showed a video on Channel 7. There was a protest at the intersection of Sunset and Crescent Heights earlier today. And in order to disperse the crowd, a police officer, I believe whoever was running the show at that particular intersection, took a knee in front of protesters and said, we are with you. Will you please disperse now? And the crowd dispersed. Again, that's an example of how to de-escalate a situation. Officer was heroic in doing that.
Yeah. Did you see the mayor of Flint or the police chief in Flint? He went up to a march and asked the marchers, how can I help you guys? And they said, march with us. And he put down his helmet and his baton and just started walking with them. You use the right word, Mace. De-escalate is hard in this environment, but if you can do it, then you're going to be remembered because that's what everybody needs.
It'd be good. I mean, I don't know if you guys, and I'm sure you guys did. You guys see LeBron's retweeted a couple, different news networks, some of these smaller outlets that were covering, like you guys mentioned, right? Peaceful demonstrations. Doing it in a very symbolic way. And I think a lot of that too, those things that you guys just mentioned right there, man, I'd love to see some of that a little bit more on some of these news channels. And I'm not saying don't cover what's going on. Of course, cover it. But there are also some unbelievable people. And, there's certainly no excuse for it's very easy to just or to explain right or to look at right versus wrong. But in some of these predicaments, I wish I could see more of that from a media perspective, because there are some good that's being done in some of this.
Yeah. And I think what we've looked at today is, thousands of people protesting peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have an incident now, as John said, at Gower Gulch. It looks like the police have that completely under control now. That parking lot is filled with
police cars. They're starting to arrest
people,
too.
Yeah, and they're starting to arrest people, and they should be arrested. They're looting. But that doesn't have, that does not negate what 99% of the people that are out there are doing. They're protesting peacefully. They're using their freedom to assemble, to make a statement about what happened in Minneapolis and what happened to George Floyd in those 8 minutes and 46 seconds that police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck. That's what this is about. And the fact that there are some knuckleheads, a few of them, who are involved in illegal behavior does not change the fact that thousands of people are protesting peacefully.
You know, Mace, just to you know, kind of go off of that, this is the I don't know if you want to say the last straw, but it's also Eric Garner in New York City in July of 2014, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Freddie Gray in Baltimore. I mean, I think that's also something that you're learning in all this. It's how much can you take? And I think, and you know, obviously I can't, nor would I ever try to say, oh, I could relate, because I cannot. So there's literally no reason for me to even try and pretend or anything like that. But I thought Kareem's piece in the LA Times, where don't understand the protests, what you're seeing is people pushed to the edge. Yeah. I think some of those other names that I mentioned is, you know, it's built up frustration over years. And, you know, now obviously it's boiling over. But like you just mentioned, the news right now is going to cover the looting. But the last, you know, 4 or 5 days of these protests across the country in different parts of the world, that's powerful, powerful stuff.
You know, This is a story we haven't talked about, but this happened this last week. There was a white lady in Central Park whose dog was not on a leash, and there was a black man there who was bird watching and asked her to put her dog on a leash because that's the law. And she immediately called the police and claimed that she was being harassed by an African-American man. And she knew that the police would respond quickly because she pushed exactly the right button. She told them, I'm being harassed by a black man. She literally, liberal lady, white lady, donated to Hillary Clinton, but she weaponized this idea of white lady in confrontation with a black man and used it against him and got the police there. You know, that's what's meant by systemic racism. It's this lady being able to weaponize this idea of I'm being harassed by a black man and the police assuming that there is actual harassment going on.
Yeah, that got a lot of coverage. That woman's life is never going to be the same. It cost her her job, probably should have. And even I think her name was Karen, and now everybody's calling that a Karen. Like
a Karen.
Yeah, people are mad. People that are actually named Karen are mad that is now. It's like that one guy we had that missed every question in a game.
Sure.
And we changed our, instead of pass, we said just say Bob.
Yep.
And so everybody named Bob got mad at us. But in, you know, another tentacle of this story. Mace, have we said the word COVID today?
No, we have
okay,
not.
Okay, so that's interesting because we're still very much in a pandemic.
And, I mean, the vast majority of protesters continue to wear masks.
Right, but what's interesting is, you know, I saw one tweet where somebody was criticizing protesters for not social distancing. And I thought to myself, well, the tweeter doesn't get it. It's not that they don't care about COVID-19. As you mentioned, Mace, most of them were wearing masks. It's that they feel stronger about this than they do about that.
Yeah.
That this is so important to them that this guy was murdered in broad daylight by 4 police officers that they're willing to put their health at risk to make their point. I almost think it's, you know, it's admirable, not neglectful.
To that point, in the Kareem piece, he wrote that the racism virus infecting the country is more deadly than COVID-19.
And I think that's the choice they're making, don't you?
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. Absolutely. All right, we'll get some phone calls coming back next. Alan Sliwa is going to be taking over. 877-710-ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on and get your thoughts on what's going on. What have the last couple of days meant to you? How are you feeling? Have you been involved in one of these protests that have taken place in the last few days? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. 710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Alan?
Crosstalk on 710 ESPN, sponsored by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great Cross Trade service for our 710 listeners, and $99 drain cleaning. Hal, I was going to get your guys' thoughts the last couple of days from more of a sports perspective. You had Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, very, very active. Malcolm Brogdon of the Bucks. Obviously, we know Steven Jackson and his personal connection with George Floyd. It feels like even Kuzma, you know, some of these younger players, I've always thought, and they don't have to do anything that they're not comfortable with doing, but I will say that I've always thought some of these, especially these 21 to 25-year-old players, and then, of course, the 30 to 35 doesn't really matter, but they have such an impact on some of these younger on some of these just younger citizens, right? I've always been curious in moments like this what players would speak up, what players felt like, okay, you know what, this is my time. You've seen a lot of it right now, and it's actually I love seeing it. I love those players that are trying to voice their opinion, but also trying to educate a younger generation that might listen to them more than they're going to listen to their parents or some political figure.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too is I think social consciousness is contagious. I think younger players see LeBron James and see guys like Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul and guys who have made social statements, and they come to believe that that's part of their role. The other thing is, you know, I think we're seeing a younger generation participate in these marches, in these protests. An awful lot of the people that you see marching in these protests are, you know, 20 years old or 25 years old, are white kids and Latino kids and black kids. I mean, it's very much a youth kind of march. There are people of all ages, but an awful lot of the people are, you know, 18 to 30 years old. And that's exactly sort of the demographic, the demographic that, for example, Kyle Kuzma is part of. The younger you are, it tends to be the more socially conscious you are.
Well, the other thing is there's a difference, Alan, between the NBA and the other leagues. The players in the NBA run the league. It is a players' league. Adam Silver, the commissioner, looks at it as a partnership. He has a great relationship with Chris Paul, the president of the Players Association. And the best player in the world, LeBron, has led the way with people being socially active. You know, LeBron's whole message is be more than an athlete, be more than a basketball player. If you'll notice, most of the people you mentioned when you brought this up, we're all basketball players. Mm-hmm. You don't see football players taking a giant social media stand, and baseball players, you hardly hear anything out of. Baseball players just don't talk. So it's the NBA is leading the way in advocacy, and that's because the best players in the league have always felt comfortable speaking up. And I wonder, Mace, if that is a byproduct of what happened with Donald Sterling. In other words, when Donald Sterling was let to be a racist owner for as long as he was.
Right.
And when that was exposed, the player said, last time that happens, we're speaking up from now on. Because since then, they have all been very politically active, whether it be the ESPYs or whether it be LeBron on social media. You know, ever since then, the players have kind of taken the lead.
Well, you know what I think? I also think that it's a product of the greatest player in the sport creating cover for everybody else. The fact that LeBron James, the greatest player in the sport, is the one who has stepped out and taken whatever risks go along with social advocacy.
Right. He's never been Republicans buy shoes too. He's been
right.
Like the opposite of that. Mm-hmm.
And so if the greatest player in the game is doing it, then other players feel more free to do it. I think LeBron James has played a huge role in the advocacy that NBA players are willing to take.
I was thinking about LeBron. I don't know if anybody has ever lived up to the hype as much as LeBron has. You know, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 16. I think the closest thing to it is probably Magic. Magic was identified as a huge star at Michigan State when he was 17 or 18 years old. And he lived up to the hype. In a lot of ways, still does. But LeBron, there were so many ways to screw it up. You know, you think of people that are identified as whatever it is, the next chosen one, that don't live up to it. And he has and then some, whether it be on the court or off. And you know, Kobe did too before he passed away. Kobe was very good at that too. Got ID'd sure. young as a phenom and lived up to every aspect of it and then some.
John, that's why I think a lot of, you know, if you look at LeBron's social, when he puts something out, just use these last couple of days as an example, a lot of the comments from, you know, fans of his or those that just want to hear what, you know, what his message is, a lot of them talk about how comfortable he is with having some of these tougher conversations or how he needs to be a leader in this case. Mark Spears and Steven Jackson, I think it was Instagram today, something along those lines. They're having a conversation, and Steven Jackson had texted LeBron how appreciative he was that, you know, he retweeted a couple of the messages that he had out. And basically, LeBron's message to him is like, I'm going to make sure that I follow through with this just as much as Steven Jackson is making sure that he's getting, you know, that word out. That's why a lot of people, I mean, forget basketball for a second, right? You can consider LeBron is a very, very short list of those that are considered the greatest. His platform, he has taken advantage of it in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of who would be, I don't even know what the answer to this would be. Who's the most socially active NFL player?
Probably.
Current NFL player is probably yes. Malcolm Jenkins, if he's still in the league, was part of the
J.J. Watt tends to weigh in on most
J.J. Watt did a
Richard Sherman.
Really big Instagram
Richard Sherman post. Is a great answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Richard Sherman, Stanford educated, from L.A. I think he's from Compton. And, yeah, Richard Sherman is, you know, doesn't tend to duck things. But, I mean, isn't the real answer Colin Kaepernick? I mean, he gave his career for it, but
absolutely, absolutely.
All right, let's squeeze a call in here before we got to get out of here, Mace. This is Albert in South Central LA on line 6. Hey, Albert, you're on ESPN 710. Hi.
Oh, hey there. Actually, no, it's Patrick.
Hey,
oh,
Patrick.
Sorry, Patrick. We just didn't update the screens. Go ahead, Patrick. What do you got?
Well, you know, this country is still living under the original sin that was never ever accounted for, you know, slavery. You know, Reconstruction that was supposed to have happened after the Civil War was pretty much muted by every single president that followed it. And there was never any attempt by anybody to ever, you know, grant real rights and real recognition of humanity to black people. And it's continued. Here we are still living the effects of what happened back in 1850 and what started back in 1619. All right.
You're not wrong.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
You're not wrong. I mean, if you think about it, like the University of Connecticut women's team said, you know, this racism, it's always been going on. The difference now is everybody's got a video camera in their pocket, and so now we're actually seeing it. They've been telling us for years that this is exactly what was happening, but now we have video evidence of it.
But you're right, man. This is a continuation of 400 years of oppression.
It, you know, the thing is, it just doesn't go away, and we've had... You know, unfortunately, you know, we have a president now that is, you know, pretty much a racist, and he's kind of fortified the most successful terrorist group in the history of this country would be the KKK. It wasn't Al Qaeda. It's never been the Iranians or anybody like that or Middle Easterners. It's always been the KKK and all these subgroups around that. And you could now, if you looked at the history of the KKK, you could say that they're probably responsible for the death of thousands and thousands and thousands
sure.
of people over the history of this country. I mean, this is, it's much bigger than people understand. It's been going on for much longer than people understand or want to admit. And it just doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Patrick.
Thank you for the call, man. Yeah, and he's right. This is a continuation of 400 years of oppression. The last 50 years... blacks only got the right to vote. The Voting Rights Act passed in 1965. That's not all that long ago.
And to conclude with, I'll just end with what Steven Jackson said in his press conference. Had that video pretend that George Floyd was white.
Yep.
And that would have been, and they would have done that and crushed his neck and killed him. There's just no way that the country wouldn't be just completely outraged. And it's the encouraging thing is I think most of the country is now completely outraged and hopefully some good will come out of it.
Yeah, we'll let you know that there is an enormous protest now in Van Nuys. It looks to be a peaceful protest. There was some looting in Hollywood, but for the most part, thousands of people on Sunset Boulevard, thousands of people on Hollywood Boulevard, thousands of people in Van Nuys peacefully protesting tonight to honor the memory and demand change regarding the death of George Floyd. Sliwa is coming up next for you. We're back tomorrow at 2:55 sharp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.